do have a good number, especially with the bad news that we received this week. None of the Simpson family or Loafmans are here today, and they are supposed to meet at the funeral home at 12 for the family. And as it was announced, 1 o'clock for the rest of us. The times that we're living in today seem to be, to me, more different. Maybe it's because I pay more attention now than I used to. But it seems like that almost everywhere you look, there's bad news. Bad news. And every once in a while, you get to the point where you think, is there nothing good happening? Is there not something that would be positive? And it kind of reminds me of that old story that Jerry Clower used to tell about the man coon hunting. And he got up in the tree, and there was a bobcat up in the tree. And he and the bobcat kind of had a set to, and he told them down on the ground, he said, shoot. And they said, well, we're liable to hit you. And he said, well, shoot anyway. One of us got to have some relief. And you know, that's kind of the way that it is with the bad news today. We would like to have some relief from bad news. You just think about all the things that are happening in the world today. And there's just bad news just everywhere you look. Jerry Stahl mentioned in his prayer a few minutes ago that we've got to have an election, and of course that's the day after tomorrow, and we've got to make up our minds if we haven't already done that or what we're going to do. But it seems to me that the bad news, even concerning the election, is the things that the issues that trouble people. And I ran across this week in my notes that I was preparing to use. And I thought it was kind of interesting. The election, I took this out and double-checked my figures on this. And it said in the election of 2008, now that's been 6 years ago, that the issues were terrorism. And that was an issue that was one person out of every six was concerned about that issue. And Iraq, there was one person out of every seven that were concerned with it. Now, Beverly was here a while ago, but she left. And she hates statistics. She just hates them. I don't want to worry you to death with them this morning, but these are statistics. But I just want to show you something as far as bad news is concerned. The economy. In 2008, one person out of every five said that the economy was the top issue. One person out of every 12 said that health care was the issue, top issue. One person out of every 20 said taxes were too high. That was the issue. And one person out of every 25 said that education was it. And I checked my figures, and these figures came from USA Today, the newspaper, and CNN posted it on the internet. And so I jotted that down back in 2008 when I had these figures. And that's been 6 years ago. Then we had another election in 2012. And guess what the top six issues were in 2012? Terrorism, Iraq, the economy, health care, taxes, and education. And I thought that was kind of strange that it would be the same issues just 4 years later. Now, the only thing that changed was the numbers were changed a little bit. And CBS and ABC and NBC and all of their affiliates had similar polls. And I thought that what was peculiar about this, not a single one between all these people that I'm telling you about had moral concerns on this list. Did you notice when I read the list that moral issues was not one of them? Not in the top six. I thought that was strange. But I noticed that the day after the election, in 2008, the day after the election, they did what they call an exit poll. This is kind of a new term to me. It may not be to you, but an exit poll. And they asked people coming out of the voting booth, what concerned you more than anything else? And one person out of every four, now that's higher than any figure I gave you on these other, one person out of every four said moral issues. And I checked it again in 2012, 4 years later, when they gave us a choice, what was our most important thing? And again, CNN and USA Today, same two sources, CNN and USA Today, did not again put moral issues on there for us to choose from. And so I checked the exit poll again to see what they said the day after the election 2012, and guess what? Those numbers stayed the same. One person out every four said moral issues was it. And I thought, that's got to be kind of strange. It almost looks like, as Uncle Tommy Edens used to say, somebody's in cahoots. And I thought, that seems odd indeed. Many of you have noticed this past week, started actually the week before, that the lesbian mayor of Houston, Texas, put out an edict that if you was going to preach from the pulpit, that you had to submit your sermon to her and the city council before you could present it in the pulpit, because she was going to screen it and see what you was going to talk about. And if there was some issue in there that did not meet with her approval and the council's approval, then that would be stricken from your remarks. And I noticed that the state attorney general in Austin, Texas, sent her an email and said, you can't do that. And so what she did, she said, well, we're not going to say sermon, we're going to say speech. So this morning, you'll have to determine whether I'm sermonizing or whether I'm speakizing this morning. I don't know which is which, but I didn't turn my sermon in to Mrs. Parker, or Miss Parker, as the case may be. But since then, she's got a directive from Washington, D.C., said you can't do that either. So that's over. And it was about moral issues. Now that's bad news. That's bad news because she would have been violating First Amendment, number one, freedom of speech. And whether you know it or whether you like it, I'm allowed when I'm in this pulpit to say anything that I want to say. Now, if it's not said properly, I can tell you what happened here at Mount Zion. I've got three fellow elders, and if I don't preach the Word of God, I'll be out that door, and that's what ought to be done. But there was another thing that was violated by that mayor of Houston, Texas, and that is the problem there with church and state. The state can't tell the church what to preach, and the state can't tell the church what to preach, and neither can the church have the authority to run the state. So we look at some of these issues that are going on today, and we say that's bad news. And we've discussed among ourselves, and I know that many of you have discussed some issues with other people recently, about some of the so-called moral issues that are staring us in the face now that didn't used to be issues. I'd been preaching a long time before I ever preached about homosexuality or abortion. didn't used to need to preach about either one of those because neither one of them were an issue to start with. But we have to now because there are so many states and so many different places today that have brought that issue up. They're not necessarily a political issue. They're moral issues. They're Bible issues. But I do have some good news. I know this is bad news, but I've got some good news for you this morning. And again, I'll say thank you to Steve Crosland for reading what we had on the board up there this morning. You might have got it in that last verse that he read that God has not changed. God's the same. And that's what I want to capitalize on for the next few minutes this morning. The good news is, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we find there that the good news is really the gospel of Christ, and that has not changed. And I know that men have tried to change it, and men have changed it in different places, but when they preach it, it's not God's word. It is not God's word if they have changed what the Bible says about the good news. That's what gospel means. It means the good news. And Luke's account in chapter 1, beginning with verse 39, Luke tells, and so does Matthew. Matthew and Luke both do this. They tell the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ as a baby. A little bit later on this year, around the Christmas time, we always seem to wrap it up during that period of time. The story will be retold over and over and over again about this little baby that was born in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. And we'll go through that again about the shepherds coming and about the wise men coming. We may even go into the part of it about Herod, who was king at that time, sent out an edict that all the little boy babies were to be killed, and how Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, and his mother had to flee and had to go down into Egypt to get around this. And that story will be told over and over, but it was good news that Jesus came. It was such good news that there was a man who lived in there in the city of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he was an old man. And the thing about Simeon was, God promised Simeon in a revelation, a dream, a vision. He said, Simeon, God must have been impressed with this man. Because he said, I'm going to be sure and I'm going to see that you don't die before this good news comes. You're going to live to see the prophecies all come true about the coming of the Messiah before you leave this world. And I can't imagine what good news that must have been to old man Simeon when he heard that. And it was revealed from God himself. And God, as he always does, kept his word. And old man Simeon did not die until Jesus was born, Son of God, here on this earth. And Simeon, it was such good news to Simeon that he told everybody about it. He said, God has let me live to see this. God told me that I wouldn't die till I saw it, and I have lived to see it. And there was an old lady that lived. Bible says that she actually lived in the temple, if you can imagine that. And Bible says she was 84 years old. She's quite an older lady. And she lived to see the good news of Jesus Christ. She was a widow. And God let her live long enough to see the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was born here on this earth before she died. And it was such good news. And it was good news to a lot of people in those days. Now, it wasn't good news to Herod, because Herod misunderstood, and Herod really thought, he's come to replace me. I'm going to lose my seat on the throne. I'm going to get kicked out of office. And he couldn't even remotely stand for that, so that's why he put this order out that all these babies be killed. He wanted to be sure he got the right one, and so he just killed them all the boy babies. Wasn't good news to him. And to a lot of Jews that were living at that time, they wanted to see the Messiah come. They wanted to see the fulfillment of Scripture. They just didn't believe that Jesus was the one. And so it wasn't good news. If you don't accept good news, it don't make any difference how good it is. If you don't accept it and you don't believe it, it's not going to do you any good. If I told you this morning that gas prices had fell down to $1 a gallon, well, if you believe me and it was the truth, then that would be good news. But if you say, well, David Edens, why did you tell a tale like that? Well, you mean a dollar? I don't believe that. It wouldn't be good news to you. And there were a lot of people that lived in Jesus' time while Jesus walked here on this earth that did not believe that Jesus Christ was the God, Son of God. And to them it was bad news. A man that would have the gall or the nerve to walk around and profess himself to be the Son of God. And it rubbed them the wrong way so bad that that's what he got killed for. They said he was blaspheming. Who ever heard of crucifying somebody for that? A crucifixion usually was used for serious crimes, but they said, we do not believe him. It is not good news. It's bad news for somebody to come say that he's the Son of God because we don't believe him. But it's good news for us today, and this is 2,000 years later. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to go over 4 points with you this morning that ought to be good news to each one of us. First of all, I put on the board that Christ is the same. Steve, that's what you read a while ago, that God is the same. And here's what the Bible says about Christ in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. The Scripture tells us that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is the same now as He was when He walked here on this earth. He's the same as He was when I was a little boy growing up coming to church here at Mount Zion. Nothing's changed about Christ. You don't have to worry about Jesus Christ being a personality that you just have to shoot at a moving target. Jesus is all over the board. He's over here, He's over there, He's someplace else, and you don't know what to do. And that's the way people are. People are like that. Even sometimes people that are your friends, they don't stay the same. They change on different things. But the Bible says that Jesus is the same. He's the same thing yesterday that He is today, and He'll be the same tomorrow, and He'll be the same forever. You don't have to worry about Christ changing. He's not changing His philosophy. He's not going back on His word and say, wait just a minute, remember when I told you that I was God's Son? That really wasn't true. He's still saying it today, and today he is on the throne with God at the right hand of God in heaven, and yet He's still with us here on this earth. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there will I be in the midst of you. I'm here too. So He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's the good news about Christ. What Christ wants for us and what Christ wants from us is the same as it was when He was here on this earth. Nothing has changed, and that ought to be good news to us. We do not have to shoot at a moving target. Christ is the same. That's good news. Now, man moves things around, and man says this and that, but the Bible says that Christ is the same. Second point that I want to use this morning is that the church... Now, somebody's going to say, now wait just a minute, you're taking a lot of liberties when you say this, but I'm saying this as an emphatic statement this morning. The church is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people in the world, especially Christian world, so-called Christian world today, that says, oh no, the church is not the same. If it's the church that's spoken of in here, it is the same. Nothing changed. Now, man has devised his own church. There are some churches that's named after men. And they've changed. When the new Pope came to Rome, what, a year or two ago, or however long that's been, you know, there were some things about the new Pope that I really admired. One thing that I admired about him was he was a whole lot more humble than the one he had before. That impressed me. But he's done a couple of things here lately and made a statement or two here lately about some of the so-called moral issues that makes me wonder about him. And I wonder, is he the same? Is he the same Pope that took office here a year or two ago, whenever it was? Well, I don't know. And I don't have to really worry about it. All I got to worry about is that Christ is the same and his church is the same. I don't know if the Catholic Church is the same as it was a month ago or 2 years ago. I don't know. I'm not a Catholic, so I couldn't tell you that. But I do know that the church of the New Testament is the same church today as it was then. It still stands for the same thing. And if it's one found in the Bible, there's been no change. About 2 weeks ago, my granddaughter, Leah, Leah's going to school at Western, and she said, Pa, I want to come down and interview you. I want it on tape. I said, about what? I don't know of any contribution that I could make. She said, well, I just want to talk to you about some things because of your experience. And she did. She interviewed me about an hour. It's all on tape. And one of the things that Leah asked me about, she said, Pa, what's the difference now at Mount Zion than it was when you was a little boy growing up going to church there? And boy, that question really caught me off guard, and I started thinking. Well, we didn't go into all these details, but now that I think about it, I'd say, well, one thing we got is a different building. It's still Mount Zion, still same congregation, but the building's different. And we've got some things now that we didn't used to have. We've sort of missed this thing, haven't we? I have. I've really missed it. We didn't used to have that. I used to have a blackboard, and I'd climb up a ladder, and I'd put it up there. that, I guess. But that wasn't what she was asking. What she was asking is the Church of Christ at Mount Zion still doing and still following the Bible today like it was 50 years ago when we was going? And I said, you know, we're the same. We're the same. We're still worshiping God in the same way today that he told us 50 years ago and 100 years ago and 150 years ago here at Mount Zion and then some. But the main thing is that we're still worshiping God. The church is still the same today as it was when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then we saw it go into effect in the day of Pentecost. And they were told how they were to worship, how they were to sing and to pray, how they were to give, how they were to preach, and all of those things that were necessary and how to live a Christian life. And the church is saying, that's good news. That is good news. You don't have to shoot at a moving target. You don't have to worry about from week to week or month to month or year to year, what's Mount Zion going to do next? If it follows the Bible like it's supposed to do, it's the same. It is still, it's still got Christ as the head of it. I ain't the head of it. The elders ain't the head of it. The Pope ain't the head of it. Jesus Christ is the head of the church at Mount Zion and any other church that worships according to what the Bible tells. It is still led by elders, just like the Bible directs. It is an independent congregation. It is a local congregation. We're not a member of any synod or any convention or anything like that. It's just what the Bible says, and it's just like it was. The church has not changed, and that's good news. Well, what about the plan of salvation? Well, I got good news on the plan of salvation. I got some real good news for you on the plan of salvation. It is exactly the same today at Mount Zion as it was 2,000 years ago when they were first told, when men started asking, what must we do to be saved? And they were told what to do to be saved. You still do the same thing today that you did then. Nothing's changed. Well, what'd they say do? They said, hear the word. You've got to hear it first. You've got to believe the word. Believe that Jesus Christ is the God, is God's Son. You got to confess Him with the mouth. That's what they said do then. And you have to repent. That's what they said do then. And you got to be baptized for remission of sins. That's what they said do then. I got good news for you. You got to do the same thing today as you did 2,000 years ago. When Mount Zion first became a congregation 160 something years ago, that's what they did then. But the good news is that's what they did 2,000 years ago, and that's what they do according to the Bible. Nothing's changed. You don't have to shoot at a moving target. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to be a millionaire or a nobleman. All these rules that man comes up with, you don't, on the plan of salvation, don't worry about it. Just do what the Bible says, and that's good news. You don't have to change anything. Do the same thing that Peter told them to do on the day of Pentecost, and you'll be in compliance with God's will. That's it. Last point. Some good news. The good news is that the Bible's the same today as it was when it was written. I can't say that for the Constitution. I'm a strong believer in the Constitution of the United States. I believe that it ought to be respected. I believe it ought to be obeyed. But you know, it's been amended. Ain't no telling how many times. I'm happy to report to you this morning. I got good news for you. There's not one single amendment right here. Not one. Nobody's changed anything. Now, men have tried to. And there's people that will deny, and there are people that will gainsay, and there are people that will say, well, that's not what that means. It may say that, but it ain't what it means. But I got good news for you. It's the same today as it was when God had those men to write it down. It's not their word, it's God's word. Other men wrote it down, but it's God's word. And I got good news for you. The Bible is the same today as it was when it was written, when God told them to write it. Everything else is outdated and it's obsolete. And they made second editions and third editions and everything, but the Bible just exactly like it was today. You don't have to shoot at a moving target. Did I not bring some good news to you this morning? That is good news. Never mind what goes on with all these other aspects of our life. The good news to each one of us ought to be that Christ is the same, the church is the same, salvation is the same, and the Bible's the same. Got one more that I didn't even put on the board. And heaven's the same. Heaven ain't changed a bit. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how it's going to look. There's a lot that I don't know about heaven. A whole lot more about heaven that I don't know than I do know. But I got 100% confidence in Christ that whatever he said he was talking about in John chapter 14 and verse 3, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed about it. It's not going to be any different than what he had in mind the day he said that. And that's 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. God said, I love you. If you'll be obedient to me, I want you to be in heaven with me when your life is over here on this earth. That's the same thing he's always said. Nothing's changed. Doesn't that make you happy? Isn't that good news to you? Good news to you this morning. Should there be one in our audience this morning outside of Christ? Got some good news. Got good news for you. God will save you. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be with Him in heaven in the after a while. The good news is, if you'll be obedient to them, it's just like it always was. And God has never gone back on His word. He has never made a promise that He didn't keep. That's good news. While we stand, Ryan, while we sing.
To Jesus for the cleansing prayer. Are you washed in the blood?